The time is 5:05 p.m. here on CKUT 90.3 FM. You're listening to Off the Hour. My name is Aaron Lakoff, and today, August the 7th, marks almost the one-year anniversary of Freddy Villanueva's death at the hands of the Montreal police. Of course, many of you might remember on August the 9th, 2008, Freddy Villanueva, an 18-year-old youth from Montréal-Nord, was shot dead by Officer Jean-Louis Lapointe as he was playing dice in the park with his friends. Two other youth from Montreal North were also injured in the same incident. So today, on the first half of Off the Hour, we're going to be reflecting on this sad occasion, but also looking at how communities around Montreal are resisting police brutality and racial profiling, which are, of course, issues that are very intertwined with the Villanueva case. So we have two special guests who are with us here today. Anita Shep, who works with Project X, who's live with us in studio. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, no problem.
And with us on the phone from up in Montréal-Nord, getting ready for Hoodstock this weekend, which we'll be talking a little bit about more later, we have Will Prosper, who is one of the spokespeople from Montréal-Nord République. Welcome to the program, Will.
Thanks for having me.
Great. So maybe to start, I'll ask you to both just talk a little bit about the work that you're both doing in your organizations around around the issues of police and communities. So Will, maybe we'll start with you. If you could just talk a little bit about Montréal-Nord République.
Well, Montreal-Nord République, it all started after the events of last year with the death of Freddy Villanueva. And we felt that there was a need for justice. We felt that what happened should never happen and should never happen again. So that's why we took some steps, some means, to make some demands, to protest against what was happening, and also to ask for a public inquiry. So we held a little bit the government responsible for letting the situation worsen. So we've done a lot of we've accomplished a lot of the goals that we aim for. We had a public inquiry, which is something that we haven't seen for the past 20 years regarding the death of Freddy Villanueva. We accomplished to have the lawyers getting paid the same way that the police is getting lawyers paid for regarding that case. And we also want to make sure that the judges, sans façon, will talk about the racial profiling issues of Montreal North and Montreal in general, because we have to understand that racial profiling does exist, and we need to do something to prevent that. Otherwise, there will arise some other problems from that. Mm-hmm. And the event of Hoodstock that we are organizing, I will talk a little bit more afterwards. But I think it's important for the community to organize, mobilize, and to realize what we can do to prevent those steps.
And Anita, could you tell us a little bit about Project X?
Yeah, Project X is a group that's coming out of NDG. It's a group of people that want to work with youth around education and support of youth who experience racial profiling. So how we're doing that is we have a website, and on the website we have information about rights and how people can learn to exercise their rights. But also at the same time, we want to look at how racial profiling, how youth are surviving racial profiling, and how this is affecting their day-to-day. So we're starting to collect their stories, and we're starting to ask them to share that information and to kind of break the silence in terms of individual experiences. And it's, yeah, we're starting there. We'll see where that goes. All the stories we try and post on the website so that other people can have access to them. And so I guess at a base level, people don't necessarily feel alone, but also to, yeah, just to spread the word that this happens on like a daily basis.
Great. Now, of course, we're here in the studio today and reflecting on CKUT about the one-year anniversary of the police murder of Freddy Villanueva, again killed in Montréal-Nord as he was playing dice with his friends in a park. because, you know, this is quite an important occasion. Freddy Villanueva's death, of course, led to a whole night of rioting and quite a large community mobilization. A lot of people affected by his death. We also want to hear from you, our listeners, if you have any reflections on this date or on, you know, the one-year anniversary of Freddy Villanueva's death. You can give us a call here in the studio. The number is 514-448-4013. We'll be welcoming calls from people who just have any comments about police brutality, racial profiling in your community, or, you know, what the death of Freddy Villanueva or other police killings have meant to you. Again, the number is 514-448-4013. Will, I want to go back to you. Looking back at the last year, just what are some of your reflections on this date, the one-year anniversary of Freddy Villanueva's death?
For me, a lot of things comes out of it. I think a lot of groups organize themselves better to work against these kind of unfortunate events. I shouldn't say unfortunate, but these kinds of events, because it's not the first time that it happened. But I think now there's a lot of people that were enraged by it and that wants to make sure that it doesn't happen again. So we entered in contact with a lot of community groups that wants to work together to make sure that we try the best that we can to prevent those kinds of events. And also it showed to me that the lack of leadership that we had in Montreal North, especially from the municipal, provincial, and federal leaders that didn't reflect the messages of the population that was outraged by what happened, especially in Montreal North. And you didn't see Aline Bouchon. She was totally absent. You didn't see also Coderre, who didn't say a word about it. And now I'm not going to speak about Mayor Parent, the city mayor, the city borough mayor. So I think there was a lot of lack of leadership. And I think the youth try to take the justice in their own hands because of it, and that's what's going to keep on happening if we have leaders that don't reflect the true issues of the population.
Mm-hmm. And Anita, what are some of the things that stand out for you around, you know, looking back at 1 year since Freddy Villanueva's death?
Well, a few things, actually. I reflect a lot on just the arrogance of the police in terms of what's happening, even with the Anaspenes case and the Brotherhood trying to even just stop that inquest. The fact that, yeah, there was no financial support in terms of the case around Freddie's death. And sitting in on the Daniel Topi trial and just hearing how, you know, the details of how they ignored evidence or just how sloppy they were and how arrogant they were in the courtroom. So it's just a reminder that yeah, they give off the sense that they really don't care and that they are untouchable and that they're doing what they want to do. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the resistance too from the families over the last year, you know, the fact that the Benes family is still pushing forward is incredible, super courageous. What the Villanueva family did, what Dennis Mayas did and Jeffrey Metalis did in terms of refusing to take part in the case until their needs were met was also extremely inspiring. And yeah, just the creation of groups like the Montreal North Republic, like the way that the Montreal North, as an example, mobilized after what happened at their shootings was really inspiring. You know, like I remember maybe it was like a month after just storming City Hall, you know, mm-hmm. with this group that organized and people that came out from the community and just being like, you guys, you can't ignore this. This is insane, you mm-hmm. know?
Mm-hmm. I think you bring up an interesting example there, talking about the Police Brotherhood, which is, of course, like a union of the police. In the case Anita was referring to with Mohamed Anaspenes, who was another person killed by the Montreal police back in 2005 in Côte-des-Neiges. Will, I'm just curious, with the case and the mobilizations around Freddy Villanueva, have the Fraternité Policière or the Police Brotherhood of Montreal intervened in this case?
Well, I think they tried to, but they saw the outrage of the population and everything. And the police, what the police has done and what they are doing most of the time is they're trying to use the media to perpetrate the message that the brother of Freddy Villanueva is a gang member, mm-hmm. he's a drug dealer, and they're trying to tarnish the image of every single witnesses through the media. Mm-hmm. So they're almost judging it them through the media. They're releasing some news like this past week, 2 weeks ago. They tried to say that Dennis, another person that was involved into arrest from the police, and they tried to say that he said that he was the biggest gang member out of Montreal North. He's he's the king of gang members in Montreal. And that's what they're trying to put in the media. Mm-hmm. And when I speak to that person, which is probably the most quiet person that you'll ever meet, I really find it impossible for him to say something like that, because if you meet that guy, he never speaks. And I meet him in the street, I meet him everywhere, so I know what kind of person he is. So the way that the police is using the media to tarnish the witnesses, to trying to build a case into the media for the public opinion, I feel that this is something that should never happen, because they're just it's another form of police brutality for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's take this this idea of gangs and maybe break it down and demystify it a little bit, because it does come up a lot, unfortunately, when we're talking about these cases. In fact, the Montreal police, they have the Eclipse Squad, which I guess is a special squadron dedicated to combating gang violence, I guess in their own words. Do either of you want to talk a little bit about the Eclipse Squad and what the impacts of this squad have been?
Well, I'll let Anita talk about it, but I can reflect afterwards.
Well, personally, I was doing street work in NDG for about 4 years, and I didn't necessarily run into the Eclipse team, but I think in general the attitude around gangs has super racist overtones, and it's going to go nowhere. In terms of seeing like anti-gang programs, they're also just so weak, it's really intense. So there's no overall analysis in terms of gangs. The police's approach to gangs is pure repression. They got, since 06, they got over like $10 million to form Eclipse, or just to add new members to it. And then they gave $1.25 million to a number, like 20 different organizations for prevention work. So that's not even an annual wage for someone to do, you know, to work with youth. So it's a joke. It's mm-hmm. a joke.
Will, did definitely. You want to go ahead?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. You can put as much money as you want into the police work. It's not going to solve most of the issues that are affecting the youth right now. Mm-hmm. So that's a big problem. And also with the Eclipse Squad, we see them a lot in Montreal North. And I think that's raised the level of tension that was already there between the police to another level that has been unseen because of it, because their approach in Montreal North especially, it's only if you're wearing a certain style of clothing. It doesn't matter if you're black or white. It's just if you dress like you look, you dress with some clothing that appearance to hip-hop, well, they're going to arrest you, they're going to put you to the side, they're going to ask you questions, they're going to try to see who you are. So they're looking for any reason to pull you over and try to racial profile you, actually. So I think that's raised the level by a lot. And there's even some places like Saint-Michel that don't want the Eclipse Squad to come to their territory because they feel it's going to tarnish the work of their police that are already there in their neighborhood. So that mm-hmm. tells me that there's a problem with that squad, actually.
Mm-hmm. The time right now is 5:19 p.m. You're tuned into Off the Hour here on CKUT 90.3 FM. We're reflecting on the one-year anniversary today, almost the one-year anniversary of the police killing of Freddy Villanueva, an 18-year-old kid who was shot and killed by the Montreal police up in Montréal-Nord. His death, of course, was a momentous occasion, sparked a night of rioting up in the area, and, of course, a lot of community mobilization afterwards. I'm joined again here in the studio with Anita Shep of Project X, and on the phone with Will Prosper of Montréal-Nord République. One thing that I wanted to talk about was, you know, how racial profiling is affecting people across different communities in Montreal. And of course, we want to invite calls from the listeners too. If you have any comments or questions, do call us here in the studio at 514-448-4013. That's 514-448-4013. I think one of the things that stands out for me with the death of Freddy Villanueva was reading the news reports about what was happening in Marais du Nord after that night, and then being downtown the next day and walking around, and the looks on people's faces as if nothing happened the night before. You would almost say there's this real separation between the reality that some of these communities such as Marais du Nord or NDG face, and then, you know, other, I guess, more well-to-do areas of the city. So the question I had for both of you is, you know, looking at these different neighborhoods where you guys are working in Marais du Nord or in NDG, you know, what are some of the predominant problems that youth are facing with the cops there? And do you see that there's a difference or similarities between different communities? Maybe Anita, I'll ask you to go first on that one.
Well, I think what I saw a lot in NDG was a lot of incivilities and a lot of harassment. So incivility tickets are interesting because it's tickets that you get for like loitering per se, or, you know, jaywalking. And it follows kind of into this gray area. So you can tell people, you know, about their rights, specifically about ID. You know, you don't have to carry ID. You don't have to give it to a cop unless you're being arrested. But then the police are just throwing out all these incivility tickets and demanding people's addresses and their names, you know, for something, and they're not being necessarily charged. So what this does is a bunch of stuff. It gives them the right to harass people, specific people, mostly black youth in NDG. And it's adding, like, it's burying them in debt as well. So this puts a lot of pressure on the youth, and it just wears them down. You know, for example, it's like you can be at the metro at 8:30 in the morning before school and the cops are there. You know, 3 o'clock, the cops are there too. So it's just like the daily grind of these actions are really, really intense. This is one example of many, but yeah, it wears everybody down, and it also just creates attention and makes them angry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're seeing the repercussions of that.
Mm-hmm. And Will, what are some of the kind of day-to-day problems that you find youth are facing with the police in Marais du Nord?
Well, I think it's very similar to what Anita said. It's important to mention that a lot of those youths are living below level of poverty. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, cops are harassing them by giving them tickets for silly offenses like spitting on the floor, sitting on a bench on top of the bench, for pedaling on a bike on the sidewalk. So they're receiving all sorts of tickets and fines for actions like that. And the reason being is that they're trying to get as much information from these youths. So if they see a youth that might be that has a certain clothing look and is black or visible minorities, they will look for any pretext to give them a ticket so they can have their file or they have their information.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the mean for them to get the information of the youth. So I think that's a big problem, because most of the time you're giving them a fine and they won't be able to pay the fine because they're living already below poverty and they're already having trouble finding a job. So you're just entering them into the cycle of being criminalized. So I feel that's a big problem that the police is creating right now. Maybe they're creating work for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's leading to criminalization.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about justice and finding solutions with a lot of these cases. Something that we've seen come up around police killings in the last few years, and it's interesting and important to mention that Freddy Villanueva was the 43rd person killed by the Montreal police in the last 22 years. So it's a sad list that keeps getting longer. But what we've seen come out of some of these cases are coroner's inquiries into these deaths, maybe to shine a little bit of light. Some interesting developments that our listeners may or may not be familiar with are with the Villanueva family in particular. The other two youth who were injured but not killed in the same incident where Freddie was killed were promised that the government would pay for their lawyers in the coroner's inquiry. And then last winter, the government backed out on that promise. And the other two youth, I think pretty courageously, decided to boycott the inquiry because of, you know, the fact that, as one of Villanueva's sisters put it, the police had 6 lawyers and the other people in the inquiry had absolutely none. And now it looks like, according to a recent CBC article, the inquiry finally will go ahead in the fall because the government finally, I guess, was pressured into finally paying for the lawyers in this case. My question for the both of you is, you know, looking at these coroner's inquiries, are they a good avenue for justice in these cases?
I'll say something really quick. I mean, they are what we have, but I think it's a Band-Aid, and I think that essentially the state is throwing us a bone. We shouldn't have an inquest. We should be having trials. What happened to Dennis Mayes, Jeffrey Metellus, that was attempted murder. What happened to Freddy Villanueva was murder. So why are we even looking into an inquest to see if people should be charged? No way. Daniel Topi is running away from the cops. He gets shot in the back of the head and is also being charged with attempted murder of a police officer. You know, if that can happen to him, then why aren't these cops getting charged? Mm-hmm. Will?
Yeah, I definitely understand what you just said. And I think I agree with you is that a police officer is not above the law. Mm-hmm. He's applying the law. But when it comes to a police officer who shoots a citizen, well, it seems like they're above the law. Just by the way they're conducting the investigation, you take a look at any investigation that is conducted when a police officer shoots a citizen, most of the time it's a police force that will investigate another police force. So there's already a bystander because of that. And you just take a look at the case of Mohamed Anas Binis. When the investigator approached that case, well, they said that Mohamed Anas Binis was running towards a police officer with a knife, but they never took some fingerprints mm-hmm. from the knife to see if it corresponded with the fingerprints of Mohamed Anas Binis. So you can see that their approach of another police investigating a police force is that they're looking at investigating that case not to find that the police officer is guilty. They're looking to make sure that he's not going to be guilty or incriminated of anything. So their approach is totally different if it was a citizen shooting somebody else. I want them to investigate the same way. So, but I don't really trust the system right now. I don't think police should be investigating on the police. And I think we should form a different party that will investigate those cases, or maybe even, like Alex Popovich from Lacra suggested, a grand jury that will do the investigation. Mm-hmm. So a grand jury form of citizen, different citizen that will approach a case, that will be already a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And right now, like Anita said, it's totally a Band-Aid over a case. And we don't even know what kind of team they will cover regarding the public inquiry that we are having. We don't know if they're going to talk about the racial profiling. We don't know if they're going to talk about police investigating on police. We don't know if they're going to talk about the social context of Montreal or not. So this issue needs to be approached also, because if they don't talk about it, well, these problems are going to keep on arising. So it seems like they want to put a Band-Aid and they want to call the situation. And I think that's why they tried to call a public inquiry, and they said, okay, we'll make sure there's a public inquiry, but we won't pay lawyer's fee. So if we did not protest for that, now we have the lawyer's fee at least, so that's already a big step. Mm-hmm. So, but there's definitely a lot more that needs to be done to correct all those problems.
Yeah, and of course the officer who killed Freddy Villanueva, Officer Lapointe, as I understand, has not received any punitive action and is still on the job. Will, what do you think are the implications of that or the significance of that?
Well, when I first heard of that, I was really upset because he was never suspended since the beginning of the events. So that frustrated me, because I think that should have been the first step that should have been done mm-hmm. regarding that case especially. And that told me that, you know, they did not investigate the case, but they already told him that you can keep on working. That told me that they were already biased. They were not trying to look deeper into what happened on August the 9th of last year. Mm-hmm.
So finally, this weekend, to mark the 1 year anniversary of Freddie's death, there's many events happening up in Montreal North, very exciting community festival called Hoodstock that Montréal Nord République has been part of the organizing. I know, Will, you were just up in Montreal North starting the setup for this. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what Hoodstock is?
Well, Hoodstock is very important for us. We were supposed to do it in the month of July, but we spoke to the Villanueva family, and they wanted us to do it on the 8th and 9th of August. So that's why we decided to bring it to this date. And I think it was there was a need to to reflect and talk about the different issues that affect all of us in the community. And that's what we're trying to do with a social forum that will treat a lot of questions like what can you do life after being a gang member? How can you involve yourself in the community? Alternative means of education. And there's going to be so many subjects that we will talk about during that weekend. Also, Know Your Rights with Le COBP that's going to do a conference regarding about surprise on a des droits, that surprise you have some rights. So we need to build a stronger community, and it has to be done by the people, for the people. And most of the time we are always getting organized, and by getting organized by some other people, what's happening is that they're trying to put a vision that it doesn't really represent what the community will love to have. And that's what we're trying to do out here in Montreal North, and we will have some artists, some people participating in it, people from the community, people from outside of Montreal North. So we're really glad about it. So it's going to be a two-day event, be held on Saturday, 8th of August, starting at 11 with different conferences. And there's going to be a show at 5:30 until 10:30. And the subsequent day, on Sunday the 9th, the date of Freddie Villanueva was dead. There's going to be also conferences from 11 to 2:30, and that's going to be followed by a march from Parc Émile Honnard to where Freddie was shot, and the family will be participating in it in that march as well.
Great. And of course, for people to get more information on Hoodstock and all the events happening this weekend, it's www.hoodstock.ca. Will, maybe if you can just remind us one more time the time and location that the march on Sunday is starting.
Yeah, it's the march is starting at 5:00 on Sunday. It's going to be starting from Parc Émile Honnard, where all the events from Woodstock is starting, and it's going to end up in Parc Henri Bourassa. So please be there on time. And we'll be marching with the Villanueva family. It's something that is very important for them. And you can see with all the struggle, with all the fight, I think it's very important to support them, because they have been asked to respect them and applaud them and commend them for the fight that they are leading regarding the Villanueva case. Because the court just accepted the government's offer of just having a public inquiry that will just surround the death of Freddy Villanueva. That's the immediate date. But they want more than that, because they want to make sure that what happened to Freddy Villanueva doesn't happen to anybody else. And they're taking that fight even further. And like the Benes family, Castagnetes family, the Regis family, well, they're fighting against something so much more. It's like David facing Goliath. So I'm really happy to see that there's a family that is willing to do that, because it's took a load on them. It's not something easy for anybody to go through. And I think the support of the population from the whole wider Montreal is very important, to show them that we understand what they're facing and we support them in their actions. So I think it's very needed to be there to support the Villanueva family. Mm.
And again, the website for all the information is www.hoodstock.ca. Anita, do you have any last words or reflections on this special programming, 1 year anniversary of the death of Freddy Villanueva?
Yeah, I guess we just need to keep coming together. Like, Hoodstock is an amazing thing, and I hope it's the beginning of many different forums. Yeah, and my heart's out to the Villanueva family. And yeah.
We've been speaking with Anita Shep of Project X and Will Prosper of Montréal Nord République, who is joining us on the phone today. Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
You're listening to Off the Hour on CKUT 90.3 FM. The time is 5:34. We're going to take a musical break. Hear a song that was written about Freddy Villanueva. It's called Villeneuve, and it's by a number of different hip-hop artists, mostly based in Montréal-Nord, who many of them will be performing this weekend at Hoodstock. This is Villeneuve on CKUT Off the Hour, 90.3 FM.
Gospel, la nuit. 18 ans, il était jeune, tiré par un agent du SPVM. Il était bien chill dans territoire hostile, mais vite il est devenu victime à tête de projectile. What the fuck, c'est les coches ou c'est la population? Aucune relation, aucune communication. Fait que ça fait aussi qu'il est sous terre, misère. Je le connaissais pas, mais je le prends comme si c'était mon petit frère.
La justice et ma consternation, repose en paix, condoléances à la famille, désolation et respect. Comme beaucoup, je réalise la compétence policière. A-t-on besoin d'un drame pour éveiller la conscience populaire?
Plein d'autorité, de prohiber la minorité. Dans la rue, y'a trop d'abus, j'condamne la société. Y'a tant que jeunes meurent, condoléances aux jeunes mères. Pour que la jeunesse renaisse, qu'en pensez-vous, monsieur le maire?
Ici, on crache pour mieux respirer. Ici, on marche pour pas oublier. On jouait dans le parc l'été, chantait liberté, mais les jeux ont changé. Ici, on crache pour mieux respirer. Ici, on marche pour pas oublier. On jouait dans le parc.
La tension qui s'installe me rappelle ce temps glacial. La ligne MS entre le profilage criminel et racial. La haine peut se lire sur leur expression faciale. À part ça, je peux pas prendre une position qui est impartiale. Harcelé par la police, martelé par la justice. J'entends des mères crier au loin, arrête d'écœurer mon fils. Je prends hommage à la famille, pas besoin de me remercier. Laissez-moi m'exprimer comme l'a fait Rémi Mercier.
Voici le nouvel ordre, la brise d'automne est remplacée par une crise d'octobre. Oublie les incendies, notre enfance est légitime. Le ghetto, c'est le résultat des commandements de Willie Lynch. Oui, c'est vrai qu'on avait vaincu Napoléon Bonaparte. Mais tu caches, est-ce que ton arbre louait un Bonaparte? Ici, la ville est tendue, nous vivons le pire des enjeux. Vivonnez comme Steve Wonder, de l'horizon de Stephen Harper.
Ici, on crache pour mieux respirer. Ici, on marche pour pas oublier. On jouait dans le parc l'été, chantait liberté, mais les jeux ont changé. Ici on crache pour mieux respirer, ici on marche pour pas oublier. On jouait dans le parc l'été, chantait liberté, non mais tout a changé.
Mais pas laisse des marques de sang sur le ciment. Mes pleurs dans le parc, ma mère seule survivant. Exclue la table, les émeutes, notre seule voix. Mientras que fait le ciel au fléri, observa. Un cierge, une lame, un prêt, des médias. Appel au calme et les excuses ne viennent pas. Que tout familia sait pas. Que réponse à celle-là nous. C'est qu'il y a un acte comme un ange sur notre cruz.
Le quartier souffre et porte le deuil dans son ventre. La famille pleure en silence pendant que la tension augmente. Les jeunes sont frustrés à un point que leur vie perd son sens. Car tous savent qu'on arrive à rien, car on agit par vengeance.
On souhaite de tout que ça arrête, car la tristesse nous affecte. Comment calmer cette tempête?
Ici on crache pour mieux respirer, ici on marche pour pas oublier. On jouait dans le parc l'été, chantait l'hiver.